This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Heel spins, now tries to take it through traffic, lost the ball. Eason gets it out on the wing. Smith fires for three. It's no good. Anderson, the rebound. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. He'll dribble it out. This one's going to finally be over. And the Warriors, after losing a 31-point lead, rally in overtime to win 127-121. One of the craziest games that you will see. And Golden State goes to 5-1 on the season, and most importantly, captures game one of this road trip. That's going to get tougher as it goes along. And boy, so much to unpack on this one.
Oh, baby! You got that right, Tim Roy. It's a lot to unpack from that one. Saturday night in Houston, Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors here on 95.7 The Game, your flagship for Golden State Warriors basketball. And oh baby, what a game that was as the Warriors blow a 31-point lead. They start turning the ball over, start missing shots. Rockets storm back as they go small. They take out Şengün and Van Vliet. They go to Tari Eason and now Amen Thompson, one of the Thompson twins. They storm back, but the Warriors survive in overtime. Big baskets by Pods in regulation. Huge baskets by Kuminga in overtime. And the Warriors improved to 5-1 as they are in the nation's capital today to take on Jordan Poole and the Washington Wizards. Hell, Shaska, they've won 20 of their last 24 road games dating back to last season. They beat the Rockets 14 straight times. I don't know if you heard Fitz at the end of the broadcast saying, there's members on this Rockets team that have yet to beat the Warriors.
They've won what? What's their road record, the Warriors?
20 of their last 24 dating back to last season.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Wow. Wow.
20 of their last 24.
Wow.
They've won 8 straight in the city of Houston, 14 straight overall against Houston, but more importantly, it's the form and how we feel about this team. Look, there's going to be trade rumors swirling, whether or not this guy likes to be on the bench or doesn't want to be on the bench. Whatever the case may be, this team looks good. They're having fun. They're 5-1. There's a plethora of storylines here that we're going to get into today. We'll get around the NFL and what we saw transpire yesterday. The Rams, what a throw by Stafford. Cardinals, they're not going away. Lions look great. Eagles, they're quietly 6-2. But let's start with the Warriors, Sasky. What a feel-good win Saturday after nearly pulling a 31-point lead.
I've got so many thoughts from this game. Number one, the amount of people that are buying into the Warriors right now is unreal. Walking around, seeing everybody at Saturday at the Reardon event, everyone's like, dude, this Warrior team is lovable. Like, man, you think they can get this win tonight without Steph? Like, it does feel like the Warrior fandom is, like, alive and well again. Not that it ever really went away. It was just, you know, people are believing. And then they come out, and they're up, like, 30 points in the second quarter. And I'm like, all right, I'll feed LJ. I'll put him down to bed. I'll start some laundry, you know. And I feed him. Like, I'm in the dark room upstairs, you know, in his bedroom. I'm putting him – I come back down. It's an 8-point game. It's a 9-point game. What happened? And the entire time, I'm watching that fourth quarter. And I'm saying to myself, and I cannot be alone in this. You can't lose this game.
You can't lose this game.
Like, you cannot lose this game. And then when it goes to overtime, and we could break down the final, like, the final, like, minute or 30 seconds or 45 seconds, Draymond turnover, Draymond missed free throws, Pods splitting free throws, Buddy Hield turnover, buckets galore, and free throws for Houston. And it's like, you are going to look back at this. It felt like one of those rare regular season games that, like, it's not just winning or losing that game. It feels like the momentum swing could carry you for multiple games, from winning or losing that game. And for them to pull that out in overtime, and now I get to Jonathan Kuminga. I know I'm long-winded, but just the fact that they tried to throw the ball to Wiggins at the block, he gets a turnover, they double-team him. And then JK's like, you know what, I'm taking over. And not that he's mad at anybody. The fact that he became this team's number one option in overtime, to me, just cemented, like, let's ride with JK. I know, I've been all over the place. I want to trade this guy and trade that guy. But I felt so happy for the young man. Like, he had three big boy buckets in OT.
Well, you know what? You went to Sarah Reardon. And I love this about high school. I do want to say I'm a little disappointed in myself. I was reading the Mercury News in my league that I played in, the Academic Athletic Association. We have to do better. I have to do better and bring a light to that league and what Lincoln is doing and what Lowell is doing and what Mission is doing. Their scores don't even appear in the Mercury News. We got to fix that. I got to fix that. But as I was walking the Bruce Mahoney game with SI and SH, a lot of people, to your point about, man, this Warriors team.
That's what I'm saying.
This Warriors team. Is this sustainable? And you know what? There's a lot of Warrior fans that want to just stick this through before we start talking trades, because the Giannis stuff is not going anywhere. I see the Knicks are in on it or whatnot. Let's just see what happens in the first 20 games. Let's see what happens on this road trip. As the road trip moves on, and I'm excited about tonight being in the nation's capital, and I think they're going to roll against the Wizards. Then they go to Boston, Cleveland, OKC, and it's going to be some big-time litmus tests. By the way, Bruce Creed Frazier, he's going to join us at 7 o'clock to talk about what's going on in the road. We'll have him on for 10 minutes to talk about this great start with the Golden State Warriors. Yes, they had to win this game three different times, right? You go up and build a 31-point lead. Shasky, they were shooting 60% in the first half. 60. 12 of 20 from the three-point line. We'll get to Buddy Hield because, damn, what the hell is going on with him? The guy is on fire right now. We'll get to his numbers and what he's doing off the bench. Buddy Buckets, that is, with a game-high 27. Six made threes off the bench. He's playing well. But the one thing about Buddy that I absolutely loved, it's not one of the shots that he made from the three-point line. It's not one of his two-pointers or whatnot. It was getting J.K. locked in and focused in that second quarter. J.K. didn't like a foul call. Buddy, hey, clapping. Hey, let's use our brains. Let's chill. We're okay. The constant talking to Jonathan Kuminga to just, hey, J.K., we need you. Just calm it down a little bit. And boy, did Jonathan Kuminga, after the week he's had, responding to going to the bench, shifting to the bench, because, you know, some people care about starting and whatnot. We'll get into that. But the fact that he produced three straight solid games in responding the way that he did shows me that he's the ultimate professional, that this kid gets it, he's bought in, and whether the money comes or not, we'll see about that. What a response from JK, but Buddy Hield with the leadership, Draymond with the leadership, that was a feel-good win Saturday. That was a feel-good win on how to set the tone and watching the kid, Shasky, not just Kuminga. But Brandon Podziemski, because he's another one who's polarizing around here. A lot of people got thoughts on Pods. Is he that good? Is he explosive? Well, all I know is this guy is a damn winner. This guy is a gamer. And to hit those 6 points late in the game after getting pressed and having trouble bringing the ball up the floor, he's getting pressed. Thompson's taking the ball out of his hands. To hit those shots, to pump fake into paint to get two guys up in the air, to fade away over Jabari Smith Jr. Huge freaking shots by the youngster, Shasky. And that's what I think people are excited about, too.
You know, there's just so much to love from that win. I'm looking at Pods late in that game. He had some footwork plays around the rim that were just brilliant. Using his pivot foot, using the rim as a defender, finishing with both hands. He was awesome in that one. And, you know, I have an admission to make.
Uh-oh.
Draymond drives me nuts. And there were points in this game where he drove me nuts as well. And I kept asking the question, like last week, like, do you believe in Draymond? Can you really believe that Draymond's like turned a new leaf? You know what? I'm going to buy in on Draymond. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I'm watching a veteran player who is a battle-tested 4-time champion. Who's a lot of things. I mean, look, his resume is very deep, okay? You ask all the other fans in the league and they hate his guts. But when the chips were down, and I think I expected him to just not mail it in. That's not fair. But like, just to not be as locked in as we needed him to be with Steph Curry out, I think he's been everything that you want from your leader. He's been a floor general. Yeah. He's played elite defense. He is emotionally uplifting young players like Jonathan Kuminga. You know what? Like, Draymond, I've ripped you for a lot of things, and while Steph's out, I got to give you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I'm coming around on this Draymond is a changed man thing. I'm not all the way
champion
there.
To change. Champion
I'm not,
to
but
change.
I'm not going to laugh at it anymore.
And look, he was running hot late in that fourth quarter. Things were snowballing. The Rockets got the Toyota Center rocking. Amen Thompson's going to the rack. He's picking up 94 feet. Tari Eason off the bench. You know the whole Rockets come out and play. Tari Eason played his ass off Saturday night. 11-19, 27, going to the rim, 9 rebounds. Houston, for them, their best lineup maybe was Şengün and Van Vliet out there a lot faster with Eason and Thompson in. Get Van Vliet and Şengün out. Van Vliet looks like he's lost a step. He's making $40 million. Geez Louise, a Şengün. He's got some of those empty calories, that empty calorie mindset where it's just like, yeah, he's going to get his numbers, but does he impact winning? Anyway, Draymond Green. And he was running hot. You can see him. He was revving up in that fourth quarter. Leadership. Hugging JK after the game, being there for his teammates, ball handling, and the aggressiveness offensively. Knowing that Stephen Curry's out. Knowing that Wiggins is returning for the first time after missing 2 games. Knowing that JK's coming off the bench and Buddy Hill's doing his thing off the bench. But Draymond Green providing some offensive punch. I'm telling you, man, these 14 points, and you always hear Bully on the postgame show, it doesn't matter, Bonte, when I always bring up the stat, whether or not he makes 2 or more threes, they win a game. It does matter when he's being aggressive offensively. It does. 4 of 8 Saturday night. The big 3 late in the game. The 11 rebounds. I thought he had a solid floor game. Now, look, he fouled out. And so that's why JK and Paz, they get a lot of love for what they did. But Draymond Green being aggressive offensively and then hyping up JK at the end of the bench, at the end of the game, I loved everything about that. So Draymond's doing his thing. He's locked in. And let's just see it, folks. Let's just see what happens on the rest of this road trip. How exciting is this? They're on the road to the East Coast with the perfect barometers. Boston staring them in the face. Cleveland's undefeated with Kenny Atkinson staring them in the face. And I haven't forgotten how Cleveland took it to the Warriors last year in both games. Within a week, they blew them out in Cleveland. They blew them out right here at Chase Center. Draymond Green got ejected out that game at Chase Center with Donovan Mitchell way bye-bye. And then, of course, OKC Sunday. So the Draymond Green on the court, the leadership, we're seeing it all here, man. We're seeing it all. I'm loving where this team is at right now, folks.
And that brings me to Buddy Hield. As the leader of the Buddy Hield movement here in Golden State.
You're the leader now, the Buddy Hield movement.
I'm just teasing. But on the real, this guy's averaging 22 a game. I know it's early. But when I watch the game, A, he's defending. Like, he's trying really hard defensively. Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card. He has taken guys off the dribble multiple times. Now, that's not, like, the bread and butter of his game. That's, like, the deep ball. We all know that. But B, come on.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. The leadership with JK, if you watch the second quarter, and JK's running a little hot. He didn't like a foul call. He's not happy about it. And Buddy Hield subtly, if you go back and watch it, hey, JK, I need you. I need you locked in. So JK having Draymond in the starting unit and Wiggins, and then you got Buddy Hield off the bench and Looney to say, hey, JK, and I said, wow, Buddy Hield has a voice. He has a voice. Now, what I want to know with Buddy Hield is he's holding the ball. If you notice on the pitch, he has a basketball in his hands at all time. Like, he's just ready to shoot. Well, he found his basketball heaven. I mean, is this sustainable? Well, ride the wave. He's 30-58 from the three-point line, and it's not just that he's making shots. The looks that he's getting great looks. Great looks. We talk about Klay Thompson getting great looks in Dallas. Well, Buddy Buckets is getting wide open shots, and yet people on the scouting report are like, oh, well, maybe he's going to come back down to earth. Again, my question is, he looks this good? What the hell was Indiana doing? What was Philadelphia doing?
I think he's changed, though. Like, I honestly do. I think that the guy has clearly found certain stability. And, you know, he goes by Buddy Love on Instagram. And I think that that's just the way I'm going to go with it from here on out. I'm thinking in my mind, Dude Love. You know the intro for Dude Love when he used to come out? I need Buddy Love all year. And you got it? Let's go. Come on, dog. This is the summer of love destination back in the day. All right? Get me my tie-dye.
All
right?
Buddy,
he fits right in. My man's got an ear-to-ear smile. He's the connector of this team. Buddy Love, my boy, is driving a giant old-school Volkswagen van, and we're all hopping in, and we're puffing on some good stuff, and we're headed to the playoffs. Buddy Love.
Deep playoff run?
Let's do it.
Are you a deep playoff run?
Not there yet.
Are you a deep playoff run?
Not there yet. We're not at the 10-game requirement over 500. But, Bonte, you can't tell me that this guy, the vibes aren't all-time high.
No, the vibes are great with Buddy Hield right now.
Whatever is going on with him and Steve Kerr and this fit and this coaching staff and these players, like, he's bought in, he's responding, he's hitting big buckets, he's trying on defense. He's not the perfect player, but for whatever reason, this is the perfect situation for him.
Well, he understands his role with the second unit. And they say this. I have to talk to the coaching staff a little bit at Chase Center because I'm trying to figure it out. I'm saying, look, man, this is insanity. All right? This is insanity. Everybody I talked to was like, even some of the coaching staff was like, look, man, we're just riding away. Like, I swear to God, I was talking to a coach before the Wednesday night Pelicans game. I go, what is this with Buddy Hield? What is this? And they go, you know, his assignment is simple. You sprint up and down the floor. You sprint, we will find you. You run hard down the floor, we will find you on the perimeter, and the ball will find you in this offense. And I asked the same question I'm asking you, and nobody knows the answer. I said, what was Indiana doing? Indiana played, like, they played at the fastest pace in the NBA. They did last season with Tyrese Halliburton. Uh-huh. They're going up and down, shooting threes. They traded Buddy. And I'm thinking, I'm watching Buddy here, and I'm thinking, why would Indiana give up on a guy like this if he's making shots like that? He goes to Philadelphia, doesn't play much in the postseason. Whatever. The Warriors get him on the cheap, and Chris DeMarco obviously coached him, as Fitz made the astute point with Rod Adams and Chris DeMarco coaching Team Bahamas. Hey, this might work. This might work. And so they're keeping it simple. They're keeping it simple for JK. You run the floor, crash a little bit, be active. We want you diving to the rim. Buddy Hield. Sprint from three-point line to three-point line and just let them things fly. And he's letting them fly right now, shooting over 50% from the three-point line. So my question is this sustainable? It might be. It just might be.
Look, if you want to have a great year in any sport, don't you need some random guys to step up and have whatever, not rejuvenation spots, but like close to career years in the roles that they're in?
Could happen.
Right? Like, I think about the year that they did win it all in 2022, because it's most recent. Like, Otto Porter Jr. was really good for long stretches of that year. Now, did it last the full season? No. But he was an integral part of that team, and I look at Buddy right now and I'm saying to myself, like, he's giving me a lot of the elements, like, in terms of just whatever the team needs on a given possession, extra pass, you know, get to the rim, finish around the rim. Like, I texted you, I've never seen him dribble this much.
Dude, Buddy Hield, I'm telling you, man, this is a different dude.
I thought that he was just a catch and shoot bomber with low half court IQ. Like, I did. I thought he would just take poor shots, and he had the automatic, you know, shoot button on, who didn't try on defense. And then maybe he's just changed when he's here. He's been a revelation.
So he has been a revelation. Today, Steph Curry questionable with the left ankle sprain. He's questionable, which means he's getting closer and closer to play. They're 3-0 without Steph. 3-0 without Steph. Andrew Wiggins, probable. Looked like he strained his back a little bit late in the fourth quarter, played in overtime. He battled through it. I like where Wiggins' activity is. Big offensive rebound late in the basketball game. Who else we got here? Sadiq Bey is going to be out for the Wizards. Brogdon's going to be out for the Wizards. Kyle Kuzma's out for the Wizards. So the Warriors can get right and improve to 2-0 in this five-game road trip here. A lot to like. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to play some sound from Saturday night. What a win against the Houston Rockets. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations to keep on to BayAreaOilChange.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Gets a deflection, takes it quickly to the front court, passes to the wing. There's Buddy Hield. He's open. He fires and hits again. 4 for 4, Buddy Hield from downtown. And it's 45-26. All 12 of his points beyond the arc.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hield. Listen to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
I'm trying, buddy. As long as you keep making threes, I guess I have no choice but to hit the breaks. 9-14, 6-10 from the three-point line, 27 points. More importantly, 7 rebounds. He's doing everything to impact winning. You get a combined 50 points from J.K. and Buddy Hill off the bench. The record for most bench points as a team throughout a course of a regular season, 2018-19 Clippers, they averaged 53 points a game. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Lemon Pepper Lou. Well, this Warriors team so far, off the bench, they're averaging 61 points a game. They're average, and last year they had a great bench. Last year's bench produced about 43 points a game. Right now, the bench is producing 61 points a game. He has some unsung heroes in Kyle Anderson with a nice bank shot in overtime. The bank was open, right? Slow-mo there, late in the game. Oh, now
that was such a great play.
It was so
unbelievable. You want to talk about slow-mo.
Slow-mo.
He did the little step through and then threw it up off the wrong foot, right hand. I couldn't believe that shot.
It was unbelievable. No, I almost went crazy because Steve Kerr, the final possession, he pulled J.K. And he inserted Kevon Looney and Kyle Anderson. And I'm thinking to myself, we want J.K. running to the basket. Why are we pulling him? And Buddy Hield could get a shot off as he slips there at the end of regulation, but the Warriors were able to bounce back and win the overtime. They had lost 11 straight games on the road in overtime. They had lost 11 straight. Their record from 2017 in overtime was 4-19, for crying out loud. They just hadn't won a lot of overtime games since 2017. So to see them pull through like that and win that basketball game with Stephen Curry in street clothes and D'Anthony Melton in street clothes, what a positive sign for the Dubs. A positive sign. But Buddy Hield, man, damn, what the hell is going on? 30-58 so far from the three-point line. I'm not a math major. That tells me he's over 50% from three so far.
You know, it's interesting when I watch, and I don't pretend to watch every single team in the NBA, but when I watch some of these teams that the Warriors are going up against, and then, you know, you're tuned into TNT and they've got all the different games on there, there's a lot of teams with a lot of talent, right? We just watched New Orleans 2 games in a row, and they've got talent, right? We watched Houston. Houston's got a lot of talent. They do, like young talent, don't get me wrong, but they got a lot of talent. But there's a difference between being a talented roster and playing like a talented team. And I'm looking at this year's Warrior team, and I thought they had talent last year. I did. I thought they had some talent last year. They just couldn't put it all together. This year, for whatever reason, early on, they're playing like a unit. They're playing like a team. And I'm looking at the defensive side where, A, they're staying in front of people better than they ever have, but their recovery, their ability to recover has been so good without fouling.
Yeah.
And I look at Andrew Wiggins getting to the free throw line, I think 10 times in this game.
10 times, 7-10.
They're doing a good job not fouling, and then they're doing a good job getting to the free throw line. Now, you missed almost 20 free throws in that game.
18, 32 of 50.
I mean, but you went 50 times.
Yeah, no doubt.
So to me, like yes, you missed the 18. You got to clean that up. There's no doubt. But I mean, how many times have they gotten to the free throw line? 50 times? I can't.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Houston was fouling left and right. But the second half, give the Rockets some credit. Give the Rockets some credit. They forced the Warriors. They basically just ran them off the three-point line. The Warriors, after being 12-20 from the three-point line in the first half, shooting 60% in that first half, 3-11 in the third and fourth quarter. So what does that tell you? They were pressing. They were really pressing, making the Warriors pass and running them off that three-point line. And the Warriors in that second half just shoot 36%. They got outscored 76-48. It's Houston come, they came roaring back. Jabari Smith Jr. started cooking. Tari Eason with 22 alone in the second half. Thompson. Amen Thompson, 13 points, 5 rebounds, three assists. Now, it says only one steal. Felt like he had about 15 deflections and multiple steals, man. He was getting in with Pajimski and any ball handler that he could possibly get into. So the Rockets come roaring back. But the resolve to win that basketball game, the resolve to win that game with Pods fouling out and Draymond fouling out, kudos to those guys, the unsung heroes, and not only Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney, but the stars of the show, Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga, who took over overtime.
There was a moment, I'd forgotten if it was after a timeout and Draymond had already fouled out, or if it was when Draymond was on the floor, but Pajemski took an air ball three late in the game. He kind of held onto the ball, no one else touched it, and they had an opportunity to take a lead, and Draymond put his arm around him as they were walking back to the huddle, like, that's not a good shot. That's not a great possession. And you could just tell, like, instead of berating him and screaming and yelling at him, he put his arm around him and he was like trying to explain to him why that, and like you could see Paz is nodding and he's like, yeah, you're right, that is, but that is the growth of this team. And I feel like I'm coming around on Draymond on this sense. Like I do kind of buy in that he thus far looks like a changed man, and I'm sure he'll explode at some point and we'll have that different conversation. Look, but early on, like, I see the leadership.
No, he's championing the change, man. Championing the change. I'm buying it. Here's what Kerr said, because I felt like this as well. We'll get to West Oakland Sam in just a second. But Steve Kerr, on what this does for the team moving forward.
Great experience. Yeah, great experience. And, you know, to win after Draymond fouls out, to win without Steph, to win on a night when the game just completely flipped. You know, as good as we were in the first half, you know, they basically went small and switched everything and caused us a lot of problems. And so it's great to have that game on tape. It's great to feel it because we're going to have to get better when we face that kind of defense.
No doubt about that. How about Kuminga? How proud was Kerr of Jonathan Kuminga and his performance Saturday night?
It's been great. You know, this is the third game in a row he's come off the bench, and these were his three best games. I think the way he's responded, you know, to a role change is perfect. That's what we expect, you know, the professionalism, the force that he brought, you know, coming off the bench and playing the way he has. That's a huge sign of growth, and couldn't be more proud of JK.
Six rebounds for JK Saturday night for all the plus-minus geeks. He's a team-high plus 18. 23 points off the bench, 7-12. So Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga combined to go 16 of 26 Saturday night. Eight threes between them. JK, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. Very selective. And he got to the free throw line as well, 10 times, 7 of 10 there. So, look, Kerr's proud of him. I'm proud of him. The growth, the maturity, very articulate. JK is playing at a high level alongside Buddy Hield. Let's go to West Oakland Sam real quick. West Oakland Sam, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, my brothers. How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
I've always looked at players, particularly Buddy Hield, whenever our system works, it caters to people like Buddy Hield, because I've always looked at our system for players like Buddy Hield, and let's say for another player like JaVale McGee, to actually, our system could rehabilitate a person's career. So even if we keep Buddy Hield or not, our system is tailor-made for somebody like Buddy Hield to thrive in and to rehabilitate his career. And I hope he stays with us because the residuals will be greater. It just feels good to see a team that is operating on a particular IQ to understand the way our system works, where everybody understands their specific role. Like, to be honest, Slow-Mo gives me like that Sean Livingston vibe in a way. Buddy Hield gives us that poor man's version of Klay Thompson in a sense. So it just feels good to see a team operating on a specific IQ while also catering to Kuminga's role as he grows to potentially become a star, which is the only thing that we're waiting on is to see Kuminga completely take over a game and thoroughly do it through our system, right? So it takes a high IQ team to help him right now, which is why it's perfect as a 22-year-old that he is in a perfect situation where he's surrounded by high IQ players, even though Pods is in his second year, he's still a high IQ player. So surrounding somebody like Kuminga, who's still learning the game, mm-hmm. particularly at the Warriors level,
yep.
where you need that, will help him in the long run.
No
but
doubt.
I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There, you know, one thing compared to last year is I don't want to get too much into last year because I'm feeling the vibes right now, is that Kerr has figured out the role for this team a lot sooner than he did last year. Last year, there was just so much, what are you going to do with Chris Paul? Well, you don't play Chris. You had to start Chris Paul because he had injuries right out of the gate. You know, Draymond Green had the ankle injury right out of the gate. What was the role of Moses Moody? What was the role of J.K.? Where was Andrew Wiggins at? Where was Clay at? Pardon me. You moved out without Jordan Poole, so it felt like Steve Kerr was never, pardon me, as a voice is about to be shot here. Steve Kerr is never able to figure out the roles until later in the year. Think about when he benched Clay. Maybe that should have happened a lot sooner. Moses Moody, maybe he should have played more. Whatever the case is, he's figured out the roles a lot sooner on this roster than he did last year. And I think that's helping everybody. Everybody came out of Hawaii knowing, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Buddy Hield, sprint to the three-point line. TJD, sprint 94 feet. You may get the ball. Just sprint as a big. JK, crash to the boards. Andrew Wiggins, be more aggressive. So they figured out the roles a lot sooner on this roster than he did last year.
I look at like the great teams in sports over a long period of time. Like Kansas City right now, anyone they acquire, we all go, yeah, that's going to like, right. that guy's going to make a play. Like mm-hmm. at some point, that guy's going to make a play somehow, some way. Oh, Juju Smith-Schuster stinks everywhere else? Yeah, but here he'll make a play.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins is garbage everywhere? Yeah, but he's going to make a big-time play
right.
in the Super Bowl. You know, they just acquired DeAndre Hopkins. New England had that hallmark for a long time. Oh, Corey Dillon's washed up with the Cincinnati Bengals? Yeah, he'll run for 1,000 yards here. Randy Moss has like played himself out of two different spots. Yeah, he'll ball out here. And I look at the Warriors situation, and even though we don't view them as a champion right now, there has been this elixir that they have. It's not for everyone, but there are certain people that fit perfectly. And to his point about Buddy Hield, it just feels like the guy fits.
It fits.
And
he's going to continue to get wide open shots playing next to Stephen Curry. That's the thing. The gravity of Stephen Curry is going to allow Buddy Hield to continue to shoot because as long as number 30's there, Buddy Hield would never be on top of the scouting report.
That's true.
People are going to look at him and say, hey, we need to shut down Buddy Hield. We need somebody face guarding him. But then you have the athleticism with J.K. and you have Draymond Green running the point forward and Brendan Podziemski connecting everything. It's going to be a very difficult process. Now I started thinking about one-offs. Like I remember Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less, Phoenix Suns. Quentin Richardson and Joe Johnson had years of their lives. Boris Diaw as well. You can have these one-off seasons every now and then where it's just like, wow, this guy's not going to slow down. T.J. Warren had a couple class. You know, I'm not even putting Buddy in those categories.
No, but I get what you're saying.
But I'm saying for this year, in this system, this just may be what it is. It may just be what it is. Now, is he going to shoot 50% from the three-point line all season long? No, he's not. But, man, can he shoot 42, 43%? Those are Clay numbers.
Look, Pete, just look at it this way. If you're a Warrior fan, stack the W's. That's a game last year that they lose, and it hangs over them for a week or two, right? It ruins the whole road trip, I feel like. Those are the kind of games.
But you know what, though? Last year, the Warriors were good on the road.
No, I agree, but they're saying losing that way,
no doubt.
Hangs over a team. It just does. And like that, there are certain games that I believe in the NBA, like they feel like they're worth 2 points. You know what I mean? Or two wins in this situation. Like right now, you're in third place in the West.
Oh, now you
just keep stacking wins.
He wants a Shasky.
Just
so close
keep
to
stacking wins.
This we're saying out loud.
Well, no, Shasky we're not there. We're six games away.
It sounds like you're there.
We're six games away.
It sounds like you're counting Western Conference standings 6 games in.
No. I'm just looking. Bonte. I took the Bonte binoculars, and I have now grabbed them. I've grabbed the steering wheel, and I'm staring at the standings.
Oh, man. Rod Adams is going to join us at 7 o'clock. Rod Adams, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. Rod Adams, 7 o'clock. Shasky's close. He's close. You can hear it in his voice.
I am getting close.
Brent Oakland will get you here on the other side. He's got a question about playing time. He wants to know why a particular player isn't getting more playing time. We'll get to that. 888-957-9570. Ryan Adams coming up at 7 o'clock here on the Morning Rose. And we will get around the NFL. A lot went on yesterday in the NFL. All that coming up here on the Rose. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Circling up top, Kuminga. He'll get the ball on the far side. Now attacks the rim. Fumbled it. Goes up strong with a left hand. It went right over the top of Smith. And Kuminga with a couple of huge baskets. Here it's 127-121. Kuminga with 23 on 7-12 shooting.
Bay Area is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, JK, hell of an overtime for you. Hell of a game out in H-Town. That's three straight games that JK has stacked them up. And as I'm listening to Guru Friday night, Saturday, oh, Brendan Eagle was cooking. He's cooking. Hey, man, empty numbers, baby. Empty numbers. JK put the clamps on him, and JK was running around Saturday night at the Toyota Center as the Warriors approved a 5-1. Yes, they've won 20 of their last 24 games on the road dating back to last season. We're going to get to the calls before we get to Rod Adams here, Shaska, as this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Here's JK's mindset in overtime.
It's mostly, like I said, you know, so much space. Ain't nobody going to stop me where I want to go. I know it's not going to happen every time, but the mindset is just getting anybody wherever I want them to go. And more comfortable getting to the rim, you know, than doing different things. You know, why settle when I could get to the rim? So it's just, that's the mentality.
That's the mentality. He's got a winning mentality. Real quick, Shaska, got to play this Draymond cut on JK and how important he was Saturday night.
He's very important. Number one, he can match the athleticism of all those guys. Amen, Tari, Jabbar, they are athletes. And Amen's a freak. And Tari Eason got one of the best motors I've seen come through this league with skill. You know, you've seen some guys come through here with, like, great motors and no skill. He got skill. He work hard. But when you're facing guys like that, you need his JK. Because not only could he go get his own, which he can, he showed down the stretch, or every time we needed a bucket, we gave him the ball, he went and got it. But like I said, from an athleticism standpoint, he's just as athletic, if not more. And so to match that physicality and athleticism was huge. And so, you know, that in situations like that, you know, you definitely need a JK. Obviously, we need him more in other situations as well, but you definitely need him in situations like that.
You can't tell me that that doesn't sound different from Draymond.
Like, it really does.
He's giving the opponent credit.
Yep.
A young team that he would normally just be dismissive of, right? Like, he sounds different. And
champion
then
to change,
the way
man.
That he's hyping up Kuminga, this is just my personal sense.
Yeah.
I've always got the feeling that, fair or not, the feeling that I come away with is like, it's Steph, it's Clay, it's Trey, and then it's everybody else. Right on the team, not named Iguodala, right? Mm-hmm. And it felt like there were tiers to the team, or a class, if you will. Like, hey, we're in first class, you're in coach. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I don't even think it was that cut and dry, but that was just the feeling I always got. This is a guy, Jonathan Kuminga, that Draymond is saying, we don't win games like this without him. Mm-hmm. We need him to match these other young Bulls that are playing for the other team who are bringing it. He said, Eason has one of the best motors in the league. Like, when is he ever...
With skill.
I've never heard him be so sincerely praising the other team like that, sincerely giving honest opinion. I don't know. Normally, he's just so dismissive of everyone.
Well, he did it with Zion the other day, too. He goes, man, Zion made me work, man. He gave it to me Tuesday night. I had to come back, and my body hurts or whatnot. So, listen, man, Draymond Green, he talked about it, champion to change. Champion to change. So he's praising Tari Eason and said, hey, he's got great motor. He's got skill with that motor. But we need JK in games like this. And you know, in the pregame show, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I probably will pat myself on the back. We're discussing the game. We're going through our elements. I'll try to be humble in this one. But I said, Bully, this game is tailor-made for Jonathan Kuminga because of all the athleticism on the floor. And you're going to need an athlete at some point in that basketball game to match the athleticism of the Houston Rockets. So JK did a thing, and I expect him to do the same thing tonight in the nation's capital against the Washington Wizards. Let's take some calls. Line lines are jam-packed right now. 888-957-9570. People are feeling good about the Golden State Warriors. Really good. Let's go to Brett in Oakland. Brett, who has a playing time question or a playing time thought? Brett, go ahead. Shoot your shot.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
Just walking into work right now. I'm here to talk about Moses Moody's playing time. I really, really think that he needs to be at 20-plus a game. He's every game, he's in the plus. He's always in the positive. We just gave him a new contract, and I don't understand what the hesitation is. He's a great three-point shooter. He can slash when he needs to, and he's an amazing defender, one of our best.
My question
is, and go ahead.
Right now,
you got mic on.
Oh, sorry. I pulled a Shasky here.
Sorry.
I was gonna say who would he play ahead of right now?
Well, I think that the minutes are being split between him and Waters. And Waters is good. I like what he's brought to the team thus far. But with that being said, we just gave Moody a new contract, and Steve Kerr is usually playing on, you know, who has more experience and who fits these roles better. If Moody doesn't fit that professionalism, the role that's perfect for the Warriors, then I don't know who else does. And I think that Waters should get minutes, but he's getting close. I think it was when I saw it, 18 minutes for Moody.
Yeah, he got 17.
And Waters is getting 15, 16.
Yeah, Lindy Waters got 17 minutes, and thanks for the call. 17 minutes, and then Moses Moody got 16-43, 9 points, 2 of 2 from the floor, 3 of 5 from the three-point line. There's so many wings on his team. I don't know who he plays ahead of right now, and I like Moses Moody, and I like what he does, but look, who's he going to play ahead of right now? Is it J.K.? Is it Wiggins? Is it Buddy Hield? Is it Brandon Podziemski? Is it... Lindy Water, Gary Payton II has had good stints. He's been the odd man out in the rotation. He only got 10 minutes Saturday night, Gary Payton II. He's only playing about 10 to 12 minutes a night. So I just don't know where the minutes are going to come from Moses Moody if you're looking for him to get 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, someone's going to be the odd man out at times. And I don't know. My personal belief is that it's very difficult for me, given how good they've looked early on, to be questioning minute allocation mm-hmm. this early. Like, come on, guys. They're winning games.
5-1. 5-1. And Moody's seeing minutes. It's not like he's getting D&D.
Yeah, he's fine. I think Moody's fine.
Right. Let's go to Linda driving into work. Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. It's been a long time since I've called. I'm excited to hear you on the radio.
I'm psyched to hear from you.
Last year, I had called in and talked about Moses Moody's minutes and stuff and was excited that he was getting a little more playing time, but not much. When the trades were coming up, I was excited that they would pick up Buddy Hield from the Pacers. That didn't happen, and I was disappointed. And then when I saw he got signed this summer, I was like, oh, fantastic. Now we have a replacement. We can get an outside shooter to match up with Stephen and push him to, you know, other limits now. And when you look at the relegation of duties of time and using the players on the roster, do you think Steve Kerr learned something from working with the Olympic team this summer? You had those professionals with magnitudes of skills you had to get in and out of the games. And he did take criticism for Sid Tatum. And I mean, let's face it, the fellow from Indiana hardly even got off the bench to play in the Olympics.
Halliburton, yeah.
But you look now, yeah, right, Halliburton, thank you. You look now and he's got 12 guys. He's played in, what, the first three games everybody played? And I know that's due to the fact that they had big leads, but again, he's getting, you know, 10, 11 guys in the game, even though they were losing the other night at the end, giving us all a heart attack. We got to see people come off the bench to play. I think Guy is probably the only one that didn't get to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, do you think, and this is you guys' question, do you think coaching the Olympics team this summer helped him learn how to relegate more duties to trust people on the deep roster that they have?
That's a hell of a question, Lyndon. It's a very astute point. There has to be something there with that, Shasky, and learning how to navigate. Now, those are all-star, all-NBA players that you got to navigate 12 guys in on the team. It might be easier, when, especially when it's your team and you're putting together a roster with a longer training camp. You have a lot more time together. But it's a very astute point that maybe Steve Kerr did learn something from Ty Lue and Eric Spoelstra and Mark Few. Like, all right, how do we navigate this rotation? How do we put this combination together? And not being afraid of it. But you know what? Steve Kerr has done this before. We've seen this from Steve Kerr. He's pulled all the right strings, whether he goes 11 deep, 12 deep. I seen him play 10 guys in a freaking finals game, for crying out loud. The NBA finals game. Steve Kerr's playing 10 guys in a quarter. He doesn't care. So I think Steve Kerr has always, there's this big misnomer that he doesn't use his bench or he doesn't put in the right combinations. Look, coach is going to get some things wrong, Shasky. You're not going to have the perfect combos every single time for 48 minutes. But maybe there is something to him learning a little something from Team USA and implementing it into his coaching style. But then on the flip side, I say this has kind of always been his coaching style. He'll have a starting different starting five at the start of the second half. That's what Kerr does.
Look, there's a lot to critique with Kerr at any given. Like, there are thousands of little decisions throughout a game that you leave yourself open as a coach to critique stuff. Like, great example, just something on the top of my head that maybe no one thinks about. And you and I were texting about this Saturday night, and I think he did a great job in this one. Like, and I know the other team came back from 30 points. Believe me, that's baked into it, but that's also part of the NBA. Teams go on runs, you go stale, you don't have your superstar, right? You're on the road. I get all that, but like, there's 8 seconds to go. Second free throw. Right. He subs in
Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney.
Yeah, and I'm saying to myself, all right, I know you want to get a rebound here because you're up one, but if this guy makes this free throw, you have no timeouts, and you're going to have to go the length of the floor. And I love Kyle Anderson and Looney, but those are two guys. One of the two can come in, but don't take Kuminga off the floor. He's one of the few guys that can get down court quickly, and although he's not a great shooter, he's a better shooter than those two. And so I didn't love that decision, but I'm also not going to lose my mind over it because they found a way to figure it out, and they won in overtime. The Moody thing, I kind of am getting tired of hearing people like Moses Moody. Like, do we really think he's 30-minute game night guy who's going to score 25 a game?
Right.
Like, I like him. He's a solid player. He's a he's a role player. But are we really going to field calls after every game about his minute allocation? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, you know, sports radio.
They're winning
radio games. It's sports radio, you know. You always got to look at the negative,
Buddy Hield's
right?
been awesome.
I know.
And Kuminga's been great off the bench.
I understand. As we go to the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to the nation's capital and talk to our main man. We love talking to Coach Ron Adams here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Coach, hell of a win on Saturday, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We're really jacked up over the way your team showed resolve Saturday night, nearly blew a 31-point lead, getting outscored 76-48, but watching the youngsters and JK and Pods make big plays down the stretch, watching the continued excellence with Buddy Hield, not only shooting and rebounding, but playing defense, Ron, and I know that's where you hang your hat on defensively. Maybe you could speak to that defensively so far. We're loving all the hustle stats. Number one in deflections, top of the league in steals, not getting blown by. Can you discuss maybe what you guys are doing so well defensively, because it looks so connected defensively in this young season?
Well, we've done it. We're doing a great job defensively to this point. And I think a lot of it is we're well organized. I think Jerry Stackhouse and Chris DeMarco works with Jerry, but Jerry's done a really good job. I like his demeanor. I like how he holds people accountable. And we've been blessed with a roster of a lot of two-way players, and most of them have a defensive aptitude. And Buddy has been a surprise, but Buddy exemplifies what this team is doing, and everyone is really playing aggressively and hard. Perhaps that's because minutes are at a premium. But I think everyone's motivated. I think most of the guys we have in this team are intrinsically motivated. I don't think it's necessarily because of the competition for minutes. But that's kind of been our formula for our defense. We are not the biggest team in the league, obviously, but I think we've overcome that with really a workman-like attitude about it and a great hustle and I think great camaraderie also to this point.
Coach, you're referencing Buddy. I just didn't know that the guy was going to give this much effort on defense. And then the dribbling, like he's finished around the rim way more. Are you just seeing something different? Have you guys, you know, empowered him a little more? Like I thought he was more of a catch and shoot player. Maybe I sold the guy short. I'm in love with what I'm seeing from Buddy Hield and clearly his vibe. All these guys are just feeding off of his energy right now. I'm in love with Buddy Hield.
Well, it makes two of us. I'll just tell a story that I think kind of exemplifies Buddy and what he means to us and how he's adapted to this environment. But we had a exhibition game, maybe it was our last exhibition game or next to last, I forget which. And Buddy was 4-for-14 in the game. Didn't have a great shooting night, shot into some really intense shot challenges, and he was coming off the floor in the fourth quarter, and he met Steve, and they were both laughing. Steve had his arm around him, and I told Steve after the game, I said, that interchange was the most significant thing that happened in this game, because Steve is a wonderful coach to play for in general, but if you're a shooter, he's more than wonderful. Hmm. And I think feels that. I think Buddy's been judged on many teams recently, not so much probably when he came into the league, but you know, if he's not making shots, he's not playing. And shooters can't feel that. Shooters have to feel the freedom to shoot the ball. And no one, I think, fosters the confidence of a shooter better than Steve Kerr.
Wow. Ron Adams here on the Morning Ross on 95.7 The Game, speaking about Buddy Hield. Now let's speak about Jonathan Kuminga, because you've been in this league a long, long time, Coach. And we've seen players in contract years. We see players with sporadic playing time, whether they start or come off the bench. They could drift. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of it over the course of your NBA career, Coach. But JK's response this week, showing the maturity, the growth, playing well. Obviously, a lot of you guys Saturday say we don't win this game without Jonathan Kuminga. Could you speak to his week that he's had, shifting to the bench and responding with three solid basketball games?
Well, I think he was great this week, and especially in this last game. And he scored meaningful points down the stretch. But I think more than that, and I told him this, I thought it was his best game ever as a Warrior. And I say that because I thought he played every possession locked in with great effort. And I'm talking both sides of the ball. And this is what he's capable of doing. I think sometimes, let me just back up a little bit. Several seasons ago when he was having trouble scoring, figuring out the scoring part of it, he was really playing some good defense for us. If you remember, we were putting him on, in some cases, in any given game, the best player on the other squad. And he was responding well. His energy was good. Then he started scoring, and with a lot of younger players in the league, they forget about defense a little bit. And now we're back and approaching a really good balance. And if he can continue to do this and understand, above all else, just the nature of this league. Look, a basic fundamental in this league, the basic fundamental, I might add, is playing the game at an NBA level, playing the game with great intensity and aggressiveness. And this is why I was just elated for him and the game he played the other night in Houston, because I thought that game exemplified both of those characteristics.
Coach, you've seen it all. obviously, when you coach as long as you have, you're going to be on all the spectrums in terms of wins and losses and how they come together. But the last 30 seconds of that game, I mean, you're sitting on the bench. You got to feel helpless to a degree. You guys are missing free throws. We're turning it over. They're chipping away at the lead. You're not getting good looks. You know, they hit a three-pointer. We've got opportunities. And you're looking at them like, are we really going to blow this lead? And then you come out in overtime and you find a way to win that game. Take me through what the coaching staff was saying to each other after that win, because that felt like a two-game swing there. It really did.
Well, first of all, if you you guys are students of the league, and against many good teams, a big lead is somewhat of a curse.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
time and time again. I mean, we were down 20 to New Orleans the other night. And so you're playing a powerful team. I mean, I don't know if there's a more physically imposing team when it comes to at least wing players than Houston. They have a lot of young, athletic people, and they turned it on. And, you know, they made some adjustments in the second half. They got more aggressive, but they were killing us on the old board, right? Mm. And these things happen. We had played a fairly impeccable first half. Obviously, you know, we made shots in a timely fashion. We defended well, all of that. And so we got hit in the mouth the second half. And I think the mark of a good team is to withstand that. And we were bending, right? We had to bend a lot, but we didn't break. And so I liked that game in a sense that it, I think, indicated to us, and I think to our players, the resiliency of what you have to bring to the court every night, and then to work through that game and then win it. So as far as the game, like, you know, the sequences of the game, I will only say this. I thought Kyle was huge in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have Brandon who, you know, as far as a player goes, is really a 1.5 bordering on a 2. You know, can handle the ball, can get us into some offense. But he's a versatile guard-type player, right? And then after that, we have Melt is out. So, you know, we can't use him at that spot. And now we have Kyle, who basically is a .4. And he ran the team well. He did a lot of great things offensively. But more than that, he had 5 to 6 great shot challenges when it countered in that game, all resulting in misses on the part of the guy he was guarding. I just thought he did a tremendous job in steadying us down the stretch. And, you know, we missed 18 free throws. You know, some games we don't get 18 free throws.
Hey, you got to the line 50 times, Coach. 50 times on Saturday.
Missed 18 free throws. I mean, 18 to 20 is a good total for us to get to the line.
No doubt. Real quick, Coach, before we let you go, because we're up against it here, we do appreciate the time. We always appreciate talking to you. We all get smarter and wiser when we talk to you, Coach Rod Adams. Real quick on Draymond Green. I think he talked about the champion, being the champion of change and checking his emotions. But on the court, I think he's got off to a phenomenal start, not only defensively, but could you touch on maybe his aggressiveness offensively? Because that right there, the 14 points, the big three late in the game, he's facilitating. I think offensively, this is the best I've seen Draymond look in years.
Well, I think he's trying to assert himself offensively a bit, and we need him to do that. And his three-point stroke has been actually, last year, too, he made a good percentage of his shots. I like what he's doing from the three-point line. He's spending, I think, more time in thinking about, like, the finer aspects of his shot. I think coming into the league, he was a big-picture guy. The smaller things didn't matter as much to him. He got it done with energy and his you know, just his strong will to win basketball games, and now he's older and a little bit wiser in that regard, and I think he's getting better as a shooter. We need that. But I think defensively he's obviously playing at a very high level, and I think his leadership on the court has has been really good, and we need that because we're going to be a team that relies on multiple playmakers, and he's one of them. I think Kyle is one of them, and we can go down. You know, we can go down the line. Even Buddy is showing some playmaking abilities, as is Melton, and so on down the line. So he's important to us in that regard, also. But he's a confidence builder, booster for all of our guys defensively. He understands the game. He sees the pictures early and so on. And I think he's gotten off to a good start. He came to camp. He was in good shape. But I think that was extremely important. And he will continue to do what Draymond Green does, and that is play winning basketball.
There's no doubt. We'll leave you on that note, Coach. This is a lot of fun to watch you guys get off to a great start. You won 20 of your last 24 on the road. You continue to try your road-winning ways tonight in the nation's capital against our old friend Jordan Poole of the Washington Wizards. It's been a lot of fun to watch. We can't wait to watch you later on today. Thanks for the time today, Coach.
You guys be well, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Coach. Coach Ron Adams here on the River Islands guest line. We're going to react to everything he just said. Buddy Hield, J.K., Draymond, this team, Samita, Los Gatos, Oscar Stockton. I know you guys are jacked up. We'll get you on the other side. We're going to respond to Coach as well. It's all coming up. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.